is Digital Marketer.
Today, it's Justin Rondo.
Well, hey, Justin, what's up?
Not too much, Jenna. This is the first time I've been on this podcast.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
What have we been doing?
I feel like everybody forgets I'm in the office. Like, I just kind of like hide in my room.
Yeah, that's true.
Just hang out in spreadsheets all day.
But then your shirts are so brightly colored.
Yeah, they need to offset the fact that like I'm just looking at like black and white screens.
Yeah, that's terrible. Well, welcome into the podcast booth.
Thank you.
We call it the Batcave. Does it feel like one?
I wish there were more like gadgets.
Me too. There are a lot of...
Like, I'm playing with this. I don't even know what this is. And it's supposed to be a thing for wires on a desk, and I've already dismantled it.
But... You've already alienated all the listeners because they can't see what you're holding.
I know. Well, if you guys could see it, I mean, picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
I could explain it in 1,000 words, but
yeah,
not going
added
to
the notes is a picture of this thing. Just, actually, well, let's
do it. The thing Justin was playing with is a, yeah.
That's really great.
Perfect.
Cool. We took a picture. That will show up in the notes section.
So we don't alienate people now, which is a good thing.
Well, hey.
Hey.
So you're the general manager of Digital Marketer.
Yes, I generally manage.
You generally...
Somehow I manage.
That's pretty good. That's a Michael Scott quote.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
there.
It is.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what that means. Well, first, you were...
I was.
...the director of optimization.
Yes.
Turned into the director of marketing. Now...
Yes.
...the general manager.
Yes.
...at Digital Marketer. So tell me a little bit of how all those roles kind of... happened, and then a little bit about how they morphed into what you are doing now.
So what's interesting about kind of the concept of a standalone like optimization person or optimization department, that was kind of like the new hip thing back about like 6-7 years ago when conversion rate optimization was taking off. Everybody and their mother wanted like a testing professional. Now they call them growth professionals. They're the same thing, whatever. It's just a different name.
Right.
And people might argue as like, come at me. I don't care. Like, it's the same thing. But regardless, I had been in that space for quite some time. I was training a lot of like Fortune 100 companies at that point. I met Ryan like at an event that actually was at where the Austin Music Hall used to be, where I live, like right across from where it used to be now. And that's actually where Facebook's building is, which is super annoying now because they're ruining my coffee shop.
Oh, no.
That's a tangent. But I was really just in that space. I was at something at the right point in time when, when really data was getting sexy, but people were still a little bit afraid of it. And they'd still hide behind like, oh, these split tests, like you can have some data here and then we can use this as a learning. And some of it, yes, most of it, no. But I happened to be in a good space at the right time, and I just happened to meet like the right people, like Wish Just One and all these other things. And that's how I kind of got in front of a lot of people, being kind of like a known split tester and optimizer.
Mm.
That's when I met Ryan. And then when I came over, I mean, I was selling the concept of you need to have an optimization department. And now I'm saying, damn it, Justin, from 6-7 years ago, you're stupid. You don't need that. That needs to be the job of everybody. So actually you're going to be seeing the standalone just as like the titles of like conversion rate optimization specialist, director of optimization, those types, they're going to go away. They're going the way of the dodo bird. That's not why my position changed. I did focus on the things that we normally do. That means all data centric, data design, usability, user experience. That's kind of that whole role. And then you take calculated risks, you run tests, you make sure that things are working out and trying to improve. Because I think the promise used to be on the same spend, we'll be able to get a higher ROI, which is the promise. Like do better with what you already have was what optimization was supposed to be. But that's really just any job now.
Hmm.
But yeah, I doubled down kind of like on Digital Marketer. Like I was a remote employee in Boston and in this position, and it worked really well because you're an individual contributor. Mm-hmm. I could just do stuff.
Right.
And I was like, cool, like I'm going to do this one thing. Great. But I've always loved the vision of Digital Marketer just in general. I think that this is kind of philosophical, I think, but like I do think there's a brokenness in standard higher education.
Hmm.
I think there's a brokenness. It's almost like it's preying on people that don't understand what money is.
Yeah.
And I always gravitated towards education. I wanted to be a professor of philosophy. Like that's what I wanted to do, but you get really cynical, and especially philosophy people get cynical about things. And I just went straight to academics. And when I saw what was happening at Digital Marketer, I look at it almost as a digital trade school. teaching people applicable things that they can use. So instead of being like, hey, like I either need to go to college or I need to be an electrician, it's like, or you could do this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it better than the people that have done like the full 4-year experience.
Right.
So I love that. And I remember when I told Ryan that for the first time, there's years in that I was working here. He was like, whoa. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to be a part of the company. And I remember actually when I gave Ryan that phone call that I was moving down, and because I wasn't moving down for a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was kind of like renewing my vows, so to say. And I gave him a phone call, and he actually said, like a couple days later, he's like, I honestly thought you were calling to quit.
Wow.
He's like, I just assumed you're in a tech hub. You're all this stuff. Like, it makes more sense. You like hockey. It's hot down here. Like, there's all these things. And came in, and it just happened to be kind of like, again, right place, right time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when Molly was kind of like, hey, I kind of want to go off and do my own consulting gig, kind of do this thing. Which left a vacuum for someone to run the department. And so they're like, hey, you want to give it a shot? And I was like, I mean, might as well. Why not? Which changes everything there. Like in optimization, like you touch everything. You're writing copy. You're doing analysis. You're looking at campaigns. You might not be launching the campaigns, but you're looking at how they're performing, giving advice off of those things. But running a team, way different.
Yeah.
Running a marketing team. So like you're thinking about way more than just, hey, what's the conversion rate on this page? Because you have to have things that are like, I know this is going to be a wash. Everybody that's like, hey, like, look at our ROI on Facebook. It's like, we're doing this crazy ad and we're getting like X cent clicks and those things. I used to be like, you're an idiot. But then I had to start looking at things contextually. It's not just stuff that impacts just sales.
Right.
Like everything works in a bigger ecosystem. That's why we have like the customer value journey. And that's what the marketing team is there to do. It's there to move people through that and expedite the process. It wasn't until like I took over the department, and I was very, very weak on acquisition side. I've always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for smaller companies. I trained kind of larger companies, but I never like had their budgets or those types of things. I always, always, always just thought acquisition was kind of bullshit. And that's a terrible thing for your director of marketing to believe.
Marketing, yeah.
And then it all started clicking. You start seeing the bigger picture. It's wild when you like you keep pulling back and you start seeing how everything works together. And that's just the last 4 months of moving from running a marketing department, one of which like we didn't even have a content portion of the marketing department.
Yeah.
Like that was a new thing at Digital Marketer. It was crazy when I'd be at conferences like, oh yeah, so what's your content marketing strategy? Like, huh? Well, they're in product, and we don't do that. So what are you doing for search? No, silly. Like, we pay for things. I mean, that was hands down the smartest move we did as a marketing department, was investing in search. Our current director of marketing, Amanda, she was a very strategic hire. I mean, she's now our director of marketing, and what she's been able to do with kind of something that we just was an untapped area. We had a level of, we don't need to do that. It was almost like arrogance, where we're like, we don't need to deal with search. Like, we'll build the best content. People will show up. Funny thing, they don't. It just doesn't happen that way. And then with paid media getting more expensive, there's not one person I know that has lower CPAs than they did last year. It just doesn't happen. It's getting crowded. How do you do that? You invest in as much of your own media as you can. And when we really took that seriously, that's when a lot of things started changing. So those are all things I didn't know that well. And when you hire people and you bring people on, you bring on for your weaknesses. You don't want to bring on just a person like, I know a bunch of nerds like me and like the analytics and kind of growth optimization space and those things. I'd hire none of them. We don't need them.
Yeah.
You need to hire for where your weak points are, hire experts in that and let them run. And that was, I think, a really cool thing for me to start seeing as the team was growing. And likewise, now that the team is now the company, it's really cool to start seeing how everything fits together.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting like, this is going to sound super nerdy. So anybody who played Final Fantasy VII, when that came out, you're in this big space, like it's called Midgar. Like you start out, it's this like crazy city and those things. And it should be the size of, that's like what a regular video game's size would be.
Yeah.
And then you leave and it's just a dot on a map.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much more out here.
There's
and that
so,
is, that
so
is,
much
it, that's,
to do.
Yeah, there's so much room for activities. That is, each time my position's changed, you don't know what you don't know, and you, for better or for worse, and it's just a wild, wild new perspective.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that we are moving away from right now?
Yeah, so we've been moving away from a lot of things. I think one was consolidating our technology. We had a lot of things held together with duct tape and bubblegum. I have a new rule that I think everybody should kind of live by when you're talking about like essential tech at your company. If someone goes, hey, who do you use for this? And you say the name and they go, who's that? Get rid of them immediately for essential technologies. That's the thing. If you're looking at something that's a nice to have or a new emerging tech, like, hey, this new webinar platform we're using, cool, go nuts. That's not going to be an essential piece of your company. But when it comes to payment processors,
right,
when it comes to email service providers, when it comes to those types of things, you want stuff people know. Because not only because, you know, one, they'll have communities of people that can help you when you run into problems.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they'll integrate better with most things. So that's a big thing. And things we've been doing at DM for a little bit now is consolidating that stuff down and investing in the technology. I think we had a cool resurgence, I think, on the product side. I think you might agree with this, that if we want to have the best content, the best stuff, stuff that just everybody wants to see, and then that keeps people around, we need to really invest in the product team. And how many people did we hire? Like,
we've hired three.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
well, no, four.
Four people.
We
yeah.
hired someone specifically for certifications, Mr. Sam Clark. We hired someone to help build product, Katie Zieber. We hired someone to help with events, Bethany Cowan, and someone to help with production. Maya.
Yeah, Maya Hughley.
Maya Hughley.
And then, I mean, if you look at the size of the company, like Digital Marketer Proper being somewhere like in like the 30 mark.
I think Digital Marketer Proper is pronounced Digital Marketer.
Digital Marketer. Like, oh, yes. I can't do British. I can't do accents on like any, like on demand. I also, my British accent is always like this weird, like, oh, you there. Like, it's terrible. but Digital Marketer. At one point in time, one of the stages at TNC a couple years ago, it broke. Like the sound wasn't recorded.
Oh.
And so I made the suggestion of us redoing all the sessions with puppets.
I remember that. And, that was my first TNC.
And me doing the puppet voice, being like,
that was a good voice.
Hey, everybody, I'm Ryan Dyth. We're going to talk about funnels today. Like, we're at Digital Marketer. Yeah, that's Digital Marketer Proper.
Yeah, that's Digital Marketer Proper.
I think that could be our new April Fool's thing.
Yeah.
Would just be, let's do a Puppet Pals.
April Fool's is during TNC this year.
Oh, dear God.
Which is scary and exciting.
There's some really cool stuff we can do.
Scare-citing. Okay, so we moved away from tech that's no longer serving us.
Yep.
We cut out that which does not serve us.
Yes.
What are we moving towards, unless you had more?
No, I think the big thing I was going to say there was why I was talking about Digital Marketer Proper was that the size of Digital Marketer is probably around like 30-ish people, like how our companies built out or our suite of companies are built out. Like we have standalone shared sales teams. We have, you know, different tech teams and those types of things. We have an events group, all that stuff. They aren't like Digital Marketer, like, right? They we're all associated. But when you look at nearly like what, 12-13% people growth just in product.
Yeah.
That shows how serious we were taking that.
Yeah.
The only time we've had like classes of people come in has been more around like on the customer care side or growing sales. The sales team or doing things like that. We hadn't done a proper class of something before on product at all.
Yeah.
Like product, when you're an information company, you're only as good as your information and your product.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like most people, like, I mean, we've said it plenty of times, like, if you have a crap product and you're good at marketing, you're just going to convince them you're bad faster.
Wow.
We needed to make sure that we were had top of the line content. That's it. And that's all that matters. Like people won't stick around at that point. And if you're a subscription business, it's important they stick around a bit.
Yeah.
And that's actually kind of the other things we pivoted to. We've been pivoting for a while. Like I know people still get a lot of emails from us. That's changing. We have some cool stuff coming out of the gate, I think, with the launch of the Insider Program. And really just a new philosophy in general of how we have communication with people. That it's more respectful and it's being more just relevant, like actually provide more value in places that people want people interact with you. But overall, I think the biggest change for us was when we switched mainly to a subscription model. We used to be a very promotionally driven company, like where we're looking at, hey, like, cool, the promo calendar is good for $500,000. Like, let's just do it. Like now, that's not that. Because the point of our promo calendar completely changed. It changed to something that is a way to move people through the value journey, right?
Yeah.
It's take people who are kind of in the earlier stages and get them to the convert stage. Get them to the convert stage, you can start talking to them about, hey, there's all this great stuff in here, but we're not getting rich off of $95 flash sales. We're not. That's not the point. The point is to be a bit of an adjuster for top line revenue, but the real point is to show people, hey, you have this one thing, there's all this other stuff.
Hmm.
That's why we moved everything in platform. People might have seen like our free account, which is the worst thing to name anything.
Yeah.
No status at all. And then we decided to really, really up the game with the launch of Insider.
Yeah. I'm a free account holder.
you sound like I got a coupon.
Yeah.
It's awful. And that was, we had like, it was kind of one of those like best intentions were there. I really liked how it came together. It was like a Seinfeld episode. I was in my office then at the time, our head of technology, Ray, who heads up Praxio now. On the technology side, he used to just run all of the technology for all the companies. Came in and we were just chatting. Then like Richard poked his head in, then Ryan poked his head in. And I was like, guys, like, do you know what I really want to do? I just want to take like some control back. And like people sign up for a lead magnet. Like they'll go like, hey, I want this guide or hey, I want this thing. And then we just like email it to them. Like, cool, I want them to get it, but I'd rather us have a bit more control and have them consume it in our site. Like I pulled the analytics of how many people who click the links in PDFs. It's like dozens. It is Tobias Funke. There are dozens of us.
Literally dozens.
Dozens. It was underwhelming to say the least. And I remember actually when our lead designer, Taylor, he was like, oh man, like, can you teach me how to do stuff in Google Analytics so I can see how these are performing? And I looked and I was like, man, you don't want to look. You're not going to want to look there. And that's when we decided, let's consolidate things. Let's create a free level that gets them into lab. That was a game changer. That went from an idea in my office that was very Seinfeldy to 40,000 members really fast.
Mm-hmm. Who was Kramer?
Oh, gosh. Ray. Ray, for sure. He was in the room first, too. I don't know how he Kramered so many times, but he did. He was like, wait, I got it. And he's like, that work is minutes of work. And I was like, this is fantastic.
Wow.
That was a good one. And I think kind of thinking about how do we get people in the application and using things. That's our goal for everything. That's the seismic shift we took as a company, I believe. It's the right one. It's tough, though. When you don't have like those $500,000 jumps every month on things, you're like, I really hope people like our product.
Yeah. So how would you recommend that someone goes from launch-based revenue to subscription?
Yeah. Don't do it overnight. Do a lot of work on kind of like product market fit. Like we did that kind of post. Because we knew we had something with lab and we knew that it wasn't a scalable company if we were going to just have to launch a new course that was outside of our main flagship product.
Right.
Like when we had the Let's Builds or those types of things, that wasn't a scalable solution for us. That was just more work. And then
it's so much work.
And then the traditional like launch, at least I think our customers have become more sophisticated on those things. And or maybe we've just burnt them out. It could, there's a lot of reasons that things went the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, those efforts just weren't paying off anymore. I remember me and Matt, so Matt Sheeler, our promotions manager, I don't know how he makes so much money on the promo calendar sometimes. Like he's a wizard. He's really, really good at it. But there was one thing where like, oh, we're going to go back and we're going to try to sell this $2,000 thing. And he's like, you sure? And I was like, yeah, we should probably have a contingency plan, huh? And so he built out a contingency plan in case it didn't work. And it didn't. Everyone's kind of changed in how they consume.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this subscription economy, this renting economy, and it fits for now. And I think it'll play for quite a while. I think that we're going to start seeing in terms of content consumption and those types of things kind of change, I think, a bit more. But with how people react to like everybody having a streaming service. I know I quoted Michael Scott earlier, but if you're looking at like Netflix right now, they're about to lose The Office to NBC creating their own app. But then NBC has their own thing, then CBS has their own thing, CBS has their own thing. So you end up actually paying more for individual a la carte packages. It goes back to like when it's like, oh, do I want the combo that I get a little bit of a discount on, or do I want just exactly what I want?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to have actually an impact on how people consume content at the business level. And I don't know when that's going to affect things.
Yeah.
There could be a whole discussion on just this.
For sure.
Just kind of consumption behaviors. And I always try to think a little bit ahead sometimes. So that's why it's kind of ranty. Like I said, the biggest shift for us was really doubling down on subscription, knowing what the role of communication was with our customers. And I think not trying to find just the quick fixes, mm-hmm. like really, really investing on kind of the big stuff. But to answer the question you had, how would people moving from a launch side of things to a subscription model? In some cases, I'm like, don't.
If it's working for you,
I wouldn't do it. Because here's the thing. We have a massive team of people that create content all the time, right? If you look at YouTubers, look at Twitch streamers, look at anybody whose job it is to create content, it is about consistency and frequency all the time. You get on a hamster wheel, and that is that. You get off of that, you stop making money. With subscription businesses, and it's really hard to transition people from media consumption to, like, now go into our portal, now go do this.
Right.
And that's why if you are going to do this, you want to build off of things where people exist. Like, that's why we have, like, DM Engage. Mm-hmm. That lives in Facebook because everybody's still on Facebook. I don't care what the reports say when they're like, meh, like, people's moms are on there too much now, so they're going to, like, this thing. It's like, ah, they're still a pretty big network.
Yeah.
But do as much as you can to get your presence and, like, different perks for your subscription in places where they hang out and they consume more, and that'll start prompting. But it's difficult to make people jump there because the content that you have to start creating, like, you can't just create a subscription site and be like, ah, we're done. Mm-hmm. You're never done. It's a lot of work. My first company I worked for, we transitioned from a perpetual license piece of software to a SaaS model. What sucked about that, it was a little ahead of when SaaS kind of like exploded. And you had to sell people on both the business model and the product. Mm-hmm. Now at least people understand it. But now that they understand it, they know I'm buying into this because I expect regular updates. I expect new things. I expect all these things. So if you're in the perpetual launch business, that's because you probably launch a thing a year. If you're not up to the task of creating something new every week, get out. You're not going to want to transition to that.
Yeah. That's a good way to think about it. What about for e-commerce?
For e-commerce. Ah, man, on the e-com side, like, everybody and their mom.
They're all doing
is trying to do that. Like, Dollar Shave Club's great, except now I have, like, all these razors I've never used.
Yeah.
Something, a gross fact about me, I had the same razor I had since college.
That's a very good. Have you read Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah.
His like roommate is a guy who seems clean on the outside, but has this old gross ass razor.
Yep. I did it.
You're the guy. JD Salinger wrote about.
JD Salinger knew I existed. Yeah. But no, it wasn't until I joined Dollar Shave Club that I got a new razor.
Wow.
It was disgusting. It hurt, but I was like, whatever. Cool. I like that subscription. But even like this morning, I was just like, I have too many of these things. Like, and I think there's some different ways like that, because there's always been like, you know, like, was it local food clubs or whatever? You get like produce, you get meats, you do those things. That stuff I think is interesting. I think the local market's really cool for that. Mm-hmm. But man, like, yeah, you have the completed meal plans. Everybody's just trying to be like, get them on this subscription and send them this stuff. I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's a hair conditioner I bought that wanted me to subscribe to a giant vat of like hair masks.
I go through like a bottle of shampoo a year.
I don't have much.
I don't. It's going away.
No, I don't feel like that.
It's going away. It's so sad. I remember I was like, man, I really hope I get gray hair instead of losing my hair. And then I'm getting both. It's terrible. But yeah, I think the e-com sides, I get why they want it from a business model perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to have different legs of revenue coming in. But the fact of the matter is, like, there's a reason why, like, you know, Netflix really kind of stopped mailing physical things out. Like, I don't know if subscriptions are meant for the e-com space. Like, I think there's a few players in there for like essentials and those things. I've seen some cool instances of somebody like, hey, get on this and you pay us this much a year and you get all these kind of sourced and no name brand like soaps and these things, and you're supposed to save X amount of dollars a year and things like that on that. And cool, yeah, it works, but it's like, I don't need like a shoe club, a shirt club. I'll just do it myself. You want to be top of mind. Like, Dollar Shave Club could probably make more money off of me if like I didn't have all the razors all the time. And I could just go there and be like, hey, I need to get more of like that stuff that makes it easier to shave or like anything like that.
Yeah.
But I always forget to do it because it's just a passive thing. Yeah, and they get my $11 a month. Cool. But I think have a ridiculously good product that people want to consume, people want to use, and then find ways to talk to them more, I guess. I feel like when I was talking about, hey, content consumption, entertainment at a subscription level is even getting like oversaturated. And then you have everybody like, also, like, we'll just send you a pineapple every day. Like, would you want that? I guess for like a week while I'm on like
it'd
a cleanse.
It'd be funny once.
Yeah, it'd be good. But yeah, I think on the e-com side, it's a real fast way to get people to really increase the number of purchases per customer that you get.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's better things they can focus on.
Yeah. Well, you kind of hinted at something that we launched recently.
Yes.
But I'd love to talk a little bit more about that.
Cool.
So tell me a little bit about this DM Insider.
Yes.
And what problem is it solving for?
Yeah, so for Digital Marketer Insider, this is kind of the next iteration of the poorly named free account. And so the idea was, one, to kind of put everything in one spot. So similarly to how we splinter out, like someone took a lead magnet, then we're like, hey, you should buy this thing. And then, oh, hey, this is a part of this. We wanted a way to do that. You can have this account that has all these other free assets in there. And like, I don't want them just to be like PDFs or anything like that anymore. Like, I'm looking into like, how can we create calculators? How can we create templates and these things that we want to fill out? And they'd have them, and they create an account. They can save them, do things like that. That's not there yet, depending on when this airs. but it probably won't be there for like months. But really the problem that we were trying to solve there, to provide more value up front, being like, hey, you're into this one thing. I bet you like all this other stuff too. And you can, if you create an account, you do that there. And that was actually crazy. Like, you'd have it on the back end of like a lead magnet. So it'd be like, hey, get this Facebook ad template or get this swipe file. And they go, oh, by the way, like, swipe file's on its way. But if you want this and a bunch of other stuff, just answer a few more questions and we'll create an account for you. And it's always funny to see people who are, you can definitely tell, are like theoretically good at marketing, but have never done a damn thing before. Because they're like, oh man, you're creating all these extra steps.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to lose everybody. You don't. 96% of people who signed up for whatever swipe file or everything there, 96% of them created an account.
That's huge.
Yes.
It's a huge.
And we asked them we asked them two more questions across two different pages. And then we also have an upsell on the back end that's like, oh, hey, by the way, like, your account's created, you can log in right now, but we have this thing called Lab Plus. And that converts in funnel at around like 3-ish%, and then probably average around 6% with follow-up campaigns. It's a killer strategy. Where we screwed up, though, I'm going to do this in two ways. The first way is where we screwed up as marketers. And then the second is where we screwed up as being good people.
Okay.
Because I think we...
marketers and humans.
Marketers and humans. I think we break it down that way. But where we screwed up as marketers was just in the naming of this thing. There was no status elevation.
Right.
Right. You had, hey, I'm this coupon-y free account person. And then you have Lab. And then you have like Lab Elite. Then you have partners. Then you have other things like that. The free... just terrible name.
I'm a free account holder. Digital
exactly.
marketer.
it's terrible. But... we had been listening to our audience. We listen to everything y'all say. We take it very, very seriously. We're sometimes, I think, slower to implement than we want to be. That was kind of like my marching order when I kind of came on as GM, was like, kind of I want to move faster. Yeah. I want to go fast.
But I remember that was a good speech.
But I don't want to be reckless.
Yeah, and just a little reckless.
Just only a little. Like, we can break a little bit of stuff.
Yeah.
Just not all of it.
Wreck-ish.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. And so we've known we've had difficulties in terms of how we've had our outbound communication. I feel like we've historically not provided enough value, and we're just like, hey, we're going to email people because we want money. Granted, that's a good reason to email people, but you need to provide a lot more value up front. So that's where we're like, hey, you know, this free account thing's working out, but there's no reason for them to really log back in again, to get in touch with us again or do anything. And we talk to people like assholes. So how do we fix all of those things? And that's where Insider came into play. We've talked a lot, like if you've seen Ryan speak recently, he's talked a lot about like newsletters. I'm sure you get a bunch of different newsletters from people, and a lot more people are going to begin asking you to sign up for their newsletters. The ones that do the best have the best content in there. They have a great narrative. They have some great information. It's stuff that can be consumed in your inbox. Phones these days, especially with email, like that's where the bulk of your emails are being read. And the email app is an app that's on everybody's phone.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you live in, like I said earlier, like if you're going to create a subscription business, kind of hang out where people are hanging.
Yeah.
That's why we have the Facebook group there. That's also why we want to provide immense value to our subscribers, to our insider members, via like a weekly newsletter where it's pure content.
Mm-hmm.
You can read it right there. I'm not going to ask you to click to see the rest. Like,
right.
Here's all this great stuff.
It just is what it is.
Take a look at it. And so that was, I think, the addition we needed for the free account to brand as, hey, you're an insider. You get access to all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. And you also get this weekly thing that's curated that's going into your inbox every Monday. What that does is that kind of changes everything. And you might be saying, well, hey, wait, I got a promo email today from you guys. And it's like, yeah, you know, things are changing. We'll always have promotional emails. But when we were most successful is when we actually had physically two different systems
mm-hmm.
where we had member communication and what now would be insider communication coming through that. And then everybody else is kind of in the earlier stages of the CVJ and we want mm-hmm. to ascend them into there. So we're physically moving them to virtual. It's the cloud.
Yeah.
But we just want to be able to make sure that everything we send out is more relevant and more useful for people and respecting their time, respecting their attention, because it's easy to get attention. It's hard to keep it.
Mm.
It's been really cool. Like I remember the first newsletter went out last week, actually this week, it was on Monday. And I was getting texts from people that are like, oh my gosh, like this thing was amazing. Or what are you like, you guys are doing something different. Like, what are you doing here? And people are really, really interested in it. And what's crazy too, I mean, this is a long form piece of content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's valuable in and of itself, and it's entertaining, and it has some really cool stuff. We also like, you know, we want to be able to have people take certain actions, but we're not going to be heavy-handed with it. We mentioned one of our workshops that was going on. Like, hey, we started by talking about Netflix homepage failure.
Right.
From an article, actually, Jacob Lunowski from Good UI. I've known him for years, and it's a great, great piece. The stuff he's doing with kind of looking at patterns and those types of things has been mm-hmm. interesting. So it was a really cool play. And then we're like, hey, you can read this here. We're also promoting this one thing. Take a look. Super soft and casual. Moving on to the next story. And that got like 500 clicks on it. Like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, just being like, one, having probably around 15 different links in that email.
Yeah.
To pure content. And when we're saying, hey, there's this thing, you could check it out if you want. That made for some very highly engaged clickers.
Mm.
And what? So you say you get 500-ish clicks. We'd expect about 2% of those to turn into sales.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at like 10 sales. It was probably somewhere around there. It was probably, I think, a bit higher at that point. I don't know. I'm going to look that up after this, thinking about it, because it should be higher just yeah. because the intent level would be so high.
Right.
When they're like, hey, I'm getting all this great value. You know what I'm going to do? Check out this thing they just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a better experience.
Yeah.
Overall.
Awesome. So those are a lot of changes.
Yeah. They're pretty big. Pretty big.
Yeah, pretty dang big. So DM Insider,
mm-hmm.
it's a noun. It's a thing you can be.
Yes.
And it's also a newsletter that's part of the thing you can be.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Yep. It's status elevating.
You're a DM Insider now, buddy. And of course, all of the lab members already are.
Yep. All lab members become insiders. If you're a free account holder and you haven't seen us promote Insider yet, you might want to sign up for it, because if you're a free account holder, you're not an insider. We won't be just moving you over. We want you to show intent.
You have to take the action.
You're going to have to actually take the action. The only people that don't have to take the action would be lab members, because we believe the newsletter is valuable in and of itself. Obviously, unsubscribe if you don't like it. That'd be, I think, a damn shame, because mm-hmm. there's some really, really great stuff in there. The team's working crazy hard on that. And it's just, you know, a great, great piece that doesn't really live anywhere else right
yeah.
now. It's going to live in your inbox. So.
Is there a landing page or something they can go to?
Yep, it's digitalmarketer.com/insider.
Noise. Well, I feel like we pretty much nailed it.
I feel real good about this.
And now we have like five other topics that could become other, entirely other podcast episodes. So I'm going to end it just the way that we always end it.
Ooh, how you end it?
Which we can only do once. So I'll have to come up with something different.
Let's not screw this up.
In the future episodes. If you could tell your 25-year-old self anything at all, what would you tell them?
Get a new razor.
DollarShaveClub.com
right there. /affiliate.
Well, Justin, thank you so much
for this insightful
conversation.
It has been too long, and that I've never been on here. And I'm so sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't personal.
Sure.
It was business.
Ouch.
Cool. Well, have an awesome day, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Woo-woo.
Bye.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.